yet, that was the charge that was laid against them. And that charge had them beaten, had them put in jail, had them, their legs put in those shackles. Why might that be? Sometimes when we think of a society where human beings being one, we confuse unity with uniformity. Uniformity demands everybody stays the same. Everybody's the same. You know, they're trying to change things up. They're stirring up trouble. You got some troublemakers here. Whereas unity sees people in their differences and is able to work together, to recognize them as human beings with their dignity and respect. But people themselves can be very sensitive to basic assumptions or challenges. People themselves can get very sensitive when you have a delicate topic and that topic is being challenged in one way or another. We're sitting here again this Sunday in the wake of another mass shooting, this one at a school, on top of the shooting in Buffalo last week. And as people discuss violence, I think everyone agrees that violence in itself is a problem. But we have trouble discussing and being one with what is the solution. Because there are a lot of different assumptions. There are a lot of different ideas about, you know, what is permissible, what is effective, so on and so forth. There are many different people who do not agree. Am I right? And that can be very difficult. Perhaps some are calling out in their own way. So-and-so is advocating customs that is not lawful for us to do. But they might talk about their rights or whatever you might have. We may not end up in jail because of this, but we can end up in some heated conversations. But the thing that I would say from our lesson today, just like St. Paul, can take lessons from our faith, find ways to engage with difficult topics. So I find it interesting that despite the fact that St. Paul was mistreated as much as he was able to do a couple of things. One was to connect with something greater than himself, he was able to treat one another with love and exceptional kindness, and he was able to stay grounded in the center. He saw a much larger picture, saw his role within this great gift of God's love, in God's grace, in God's healing in this world. He was able to connect with something greater than himself. Just like we are able to connect with things that are greater than ourselves. Acts reads that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. They were praying and singing hymns. At midnight. It was midnight and they were praying and singing. I would have been wanting to be asleep, personally. And it says that all the people in jail were paying attention along with them. We don't know exactly what hymns they were singing. Perhaps it was a rendition of Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. Or perhaps it was something else, giving glory to God in the midst of their imprisonment. These kind of practices were important to me because it drew them outside of themselves. Drew them up to something that was larger than their own experience. The fact that they were imprisoned, they were mistreated, they were beaten, they were still able to draw up to something quite larger. Our own tradition, we have these great gifts of daily practices. We have our gifts of weekly practice, the Eucharist, coming together on the Lord's Day, prayer, worship, for Eucharist. And we have the daily gift of prayer, something that also draws us beyond ourselves, something else that reminds us daily of who we are and where we come from, which can become a source of strength when you run into your difficult situations. I've heard from some that even when they don't participate in the daily office, they take solace knowing that it's there, knowing that the community is praying. Draws us into something bigger. One story that I've told many times, you may have heard this before, but regards a woman who I was ministering to during seminary. After my first year, I had spent the summer as a chaplain in a nursing home, and she was in the end stages of dementia, and it had gotten so severe that she couldn't even recognize a cup of water in front of her mouth, even though she kept calling, "Give me some water, give me some water." But I noticed there was a rosary beside her bed, and I noticed that she was Catholic, so I took the rosary and handed it to her to the activities room, got one for myself, and prayed the rosary with this woman. And it was amazing seeing her, the fact that she couldn't recognize water in front of her mouth, she could still say her prayers. As we continued, she just fell right into that rhythm. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." And as we continued in these prayers, her speed started to pick up, because of how familiar she was with the prayers. Something that drew her into something beyond herself, something greater than herself. And she kept saying prayers faster and faster and faster, to the point that I couldn't even keep up. But it was truly something special. That's even when the other aspects of her mind were suffering, that was still there. It's like St. Paul offering his prayers and singing his hymns. This person was able to draw off of her own tradition, and gave her strength in a difficult time. When you're able to draw strength from God in this way, a lot of things come about. One of which is treating others with exceptional kindness. I'm not even sure kindness fully covers it. It's a deep-seated love and care and regard for the other human being, who is worthy of respect just by nature being a human being. What happens when it was midnight and Paul and Silas were singing their hymns, they were praying? The Lord intervened. Acts tells us that there was a violent earthquake, and all the doors of the jail opened up, and the leg irons fell off of their legs. So at this moment, they were all free. There weren't any lights, so they couldn't quite see what was going on, but they could tell that something had happened here. And it was so dramatic that the jailer himself woke up, and looking around, and it was his responsibility to make sure these prisoners stayed put. They stayed where they were. They had violated local custom, they were put in jail and they could be right there. And that's a serious offense for a Roman soldier. He would have failed in his duty. So he drew his sword, so distraught, preparing to kill himself. And St. Paul called out to him, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." I find that really exceptional. For one, his just regard for this person. Safety in this person's life, in this person's health, but also the fact that St. Paul stayed where he was. I will admit my first instinct if that had happened to me would have been, "Let's get out of here. Let's escape." But for whatever reason, they stayed where they were. And he called out and saved this man's life. As Christians, we are called to love God and love our neighbors. Jesus even goes a step beyond that and calls us to love our enemies, which is very hard. But we often find that that's where the most spiritual growth happens. That's where we make the most difference in this world. You might say that this person who was a soldier was their enemy. St. Paul loved him, saved his life, then went on to become a Christian. St. Paul, who had been beaten, jailed, chained unjustly, he still stuck to his principles, love God, love neighbor, and loving his enemies. One of the signs of hope I've seen during this past week, again in the wake of two horrific shootings, is I always like to look online and see how the conversations are progressing. And it seems in the past, the conversations could quickly become heated, become disrespectful, and people would be talking at one another. This time, I noticed some places where it was going differently, where people of different opinions, of different points of view, different sources of information, were starting their comments by saying, "I don't intend this to be me," or "I'm trying to be respectful of you." God walking amongst us. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of our enemies. And St. Paul is somebody who really understood what that conscious choice made and what it meant for people. He knew how he was before his conversion, consenting to the death of Christians, persecuting them, and how he was after he believed. It can be so important for us, even if we were baptized as infants, to continue to make that conscious choice to believe in Christ and in all that that entails. It can be helpful in all of our interactions in these times when our society seems to be fractured, when there is a push for uniformity versus unity, to continue to remind ourselves that I am a Christian, and how does a Christian respond? Being grounded and centered is something that we need to continually work on. This is why daily practice is so important. I can tell you one of the things that's really made a difference to me over these past several years of praying the office together is every day I keep coming back to some of the foundational truths. In the Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe. It's one of those things, at least for me, that helps to keep me grounded and centered. When you're grounded and centered, it helps you be connected to something beyond yourself. It helps you to be exceptionally kind and loving, something that goes beyond what we can ask or imagine, because it comes from God. I believe we focus on our faith and keep it foundational. People with faith may not need to agree, but can still have real conversations. They look at real solutions to issues that we face, and look at the real problems we have in our society, and continue to love one another. St. Paul can do this despite everything he endured. I think we can do it too. I think we can love one another in our differences. I think we can be one, though despite not being uniform, still having unity. As good Christians,